Hello and welcome to Intertextual Experience, where we're excited to welcome our 37th guest, a guest as cool and coastal as his game, Santa Monica, Josh Wood. How are you doing today, Josh?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for being on. And I think hopefully what we'll see in the episode kind of matching some of the spirit or the essence of your games is the idea of kind of like travel to a degree and place. I think place is actually ultimately the thing even more, because I'm not really much of a traveler, even though I would like to be. But nonetheless, I'm going to be your tour guide through the great state of Wisconsin, which is where I live.
Oh, nice. Where in Wisconsin do you live? I actually don't know this.
I'm in like southeast Wisconsin, so I mean, the two biggest cities in Madison and Milwaukee are both within an hour of where we're at. We're kind of triangulated between
So
them.
my mom is from Wisconsin. She grew up in a really small city called Neillsville. I don't know where that is in relation. I'm sure my mom has made it clear, and I've been to Neillsville, I guess, because that's where my my grandmother, my uncle lived for a long time. But I what I do. Sorry, I'm already going to get this off on a tangent.
That's where we're
I
going.
hope your listeners like this kind of stuff. But I've lived in about eight different states growing up. And I travel. I've been to like almost all 50 states. And so whenever people tell me where they're from, I'm always like really interested to hear like what specific city, because like I kind of want to like get that like all locked down in my memory. I want to be able to like draw a perfect like map of the United States one day.
Ooh. That is interesting. Neillsville. I'm looking. It looks central west-ish.
That's kind of what I think, right? It's like,
No, I'm definitely there's a good chance that I've kind of like driven through or near it, because I've been like most places in Wisconsin. But honestly, when you're thinking about like travel and the places that I have like queued up for us to potentially visit for this
okay.
trip, I don't even know. Some of them I haven't been to.
All
So
right, all right.
I'm a really bad tour guide for that. But basically what we're going to
You know what I recommend? So people ask me a lot of times about places in like Japan to go to. I recommend stuff I've never been to often to people. I try to go to most of the places that was in Let's Go Japan, but I definitely have recommended a couple of things that aren't in it.
I obviously being in southeast Wisconsin, and that's where like the majority of the places I've been to, I try to spread them out a little bit. And like I said, some I've been to, some I haven't, some that are on my list. And I was just kind of poking around different lists, and I wanted to pick some that were a little off the beaten path, or were very
All right.
fringe touristy destinations as well.
All
So
right, I'm really excited. I'm really excited. Here we
we'll
go.
see. But and I try to make loose connections between the place and the type of question that I'm asking as well.
All right. All
That's
right. I'm down.
the plan. But first two questions, we're going to have this really inefficient trip. So I'm picking you up at Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee, and then we're on a road trip to the Apostle Islands, which is a nice 6.5 hour drive. And this is a very inefficient trip. So
Easy, easy bridge.
for like thinking about, let's go to Japan and trying to, have it be efficient and not going back and forth, that's not what we're going here. We're gonna be all over the place. And we don't have to answer the questions proportionally. So if this is 6.5 hour drive, it could be, who knows, it could be like a 2 minute response. It could be as long as you
I don't
name.
think you want me to have a 6 hour response to this question.
But it's a nice summer day. We're just kind of just shooting the breeze, starting off our little road trip together. But on your Board Game Geek designer page, it mentions that your previous career was in visual effects, which is really neat and intriguing. So I kind of have a two-parter where you can just kind of describe that work a little bit. I don't have a ton of scope or expertise in a lot of things, and that's definitely not one of them. And then also how you feel that your background with that has influenced your work in board games.
That's a good question. I don't, I mean, I asked you personally to not ask me a two-part questions because I think that they're really cruel to guests. No, so yes, I worked in the visual effects industry. I have a bachelor's in animation and a master's in visual effects. I worked for a few years. I worked on a couple of movies, so I don't know what I meant, what I mentioned directly on my page, but I worked on like Captain America, Winter Soldier, and one of the Godzilla movies. I worked on an X-Men movie, and I also did a bunch of commercial work. So I worked about four movies, and I did about 50 commercials or so is kind of what I was doing. And I had a job where I was working about 100 hours a week when we were like in sort of the final weeks of production. And I would pretty much get up and go to work and stay at work, get home at around 11 p.m. I would go to sleep and then I'd wake up and I'd do it all over again. And I would have Sundays off sometimes. And on Sundays, I just wouldn't do anything. I would just like not move. And so that's one of the reasons why I kind of transitioned out of that career, because I was like, well, this is, I don't feel like I have time for anything anymore. But I learned actually a lot of cool skills when I was in college and when I was in that field. And so I do a lot of work. I actually do a lot of graphic design work for the games I work on, because aside from being a game designer, I'm also a game developer. So I do a little bit of graphic design work, and I also have an art background. I never want to take away from, like, for instance, like Jeremy doing the artwork for Santa Monica, but like I actually colored a lot of the pieces in the game, and like I drew, like, I think every animal in the game, I think I drew actually, and not him. There might be some exceptions, but like I know, like for instance, the raccoon, like I drew or whatever, just because we were under a tight deadline. We did all the artwork in that game for like 2 weeks. So I mean, my art background I get to use quite often. I've art directed every game that of mine, and about maybe seven, eight other games, maybe even more than that. So I would say that's where all my skills have been applicable. And then also, like, on the Kickstarter page for like Let's Go Japan, like all the 3D renders, like I did those because that's something I know how to do. So yes, that is, I answered your two-part question, I think, in three parts. So I hope that works.
Yeah, that does. I won't spoil it. I actually had a question. Well, it's somewhere in this mini deck of cards that mentioned the art, because I did see that you had art credits for your games, and if I'm not mistaken, there was at least one of your games you had like soul art credit for.
Cat Lady. I did all the art for Cat Lady. The story of that was, I had just made a prototype of the game that I was pitching, where I did all the art, and my idea was to show people kind of the cuteness level I wanted in the game, it was a weird situation where when AEG signed that game, they were kind of like, well, let's just get all new art. And then so there was a debate at the company whether we got new art or just used my art. A lot of people just liked my art. And, like, I kind of wanted, because I was a little embarrassed to use my art. And so, but then they offered me money for my art. So I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll just do it. And I'm actually glad that we did, because it kind of made me feel a little bit more, I don't know, just like more of like a real like designer, because it's like, well, I even did the artwork for the game, and I did the original like graphic design layout, and in fact, that game was signed in January of 2017, and it came out later that year, where I think if other designers are listening, they know that that's usually not the case. If you signed a game in 2017, it probably wouldn't have gotten made until 2019 or 2020. just because of the time it takes to get art done and all that stuff. So it was good that it also kind of jump started my career a little bit quicker that way.
Yeah, that's cool. That's like a really neat story. And like you said, you kind of have your work in different aspects in a lot of your games, like due to your art background and just being able to do the rendering for the Kickstarter pages and everything like that. Like you said, you answered my two-part question in a three-part way. So you can't be
Love
angry. You can't be angry at my two-part questions anymore.
it. Okay. All right. I'll drop it. I'll drop it.
All right, perfect. So, okay, yeah, so we're done at the Apostle Islands. Maybe we did a little kayak there too, who knows? But now we took a trip. I actually didn't check the distance between the two, but now we're in Spring Green, which is very western part of the state. This is where House on the Rock is. If you're familiar
Okay.
with House on the Rock, it's like the probably one of the more famous Frank Lloyd Wright buildings, if
Yeah,
I'm not
yeah,
mistaken. So I'm
yeah. Okay.
thinking, and then also the only thing that I've really done there, I've wanted to go to House on the Rock and I haven't yet, but this is in Spring Green, and this is where like American Players Theater is, and they have a pretty cool outdoor theater setup where, I mean, it's primarily a lot of Shakespeare plays that are being run, but it's cool. I don't know, I liked it. It's been a minute since I've been there. So this is about like craft and creation, acting, and so on. But a noteworthy part of Let's Go to Japan's creation is its story. And I know you have like a two-part designer diary, which I can link in the show notes for this as well if people want to see all the details about your story of creating it and everything like that. But if you want to, or if you could, first for this kind of part A, I'll only give you one part to start, is just kind of like recapping that story a little bit, and then also in a little bit of like retrospect, because I know it's been a few, well, handful of years now since your trip to Japan was halted and all that. So kind of like a then and now with the story of the creation of your game, Let's Go to Japan.
So in 2020, I was supposed to go to Japan, and I wasn't able to go because of the lockdown. And I decided to make Let's Go to Japan. I had all these notes. I thought it would be kind of a novel idea. In 2020, Santa Monica came out, and that game actually has a lot about like tourists in that game. So it felt like a kind of a fun thing to explore into that a bit. And so I just used all my notes. I had just started learning how to speak Japanese. I was taking lessons for a couple months to kind of prepare for the trip. And then I just kind of really went into this whole Japan like vortex during the pandemic, working on this game, learning how to speak Japanese. And I think what was nice was also like I think it was literally the day after the Kickstarter ended, I got to go to Japan. And it was nice because I got to see all the places I read so much about, and then I got to like make a couple changes that I felt I was like, oh well, actually maybe it's more like this or whatever. But really there wasn't that much I had to change because I spoke to enough Japanese people who live in Japan, people who've been to Japan, did a lot of research on it. But it was really cool to kind of see this sort of story kind of happen where it's like the cliche of making lemonade out of lemons kind of thing. Yeah, it's really cool to still keep going back and think about where I had just started with this idea of like I have my original itinerary that I was going to take on that trip, and then when I look at it now, I go, oh man, why would I do that thing instead of this thing? Or like as you just like learn more about it. And so I did get to go, and oddly I had a better trip maybe because I was even just that much more prepared because I really like thought about it. Yeah, it's kind of like a weird thing that just happened to me that, got to tie my life into a game.
Yeah, that's really neat. And I kind of have a question that ties to that a little bit, but I'll see if I can even like rephrase that because, it seems like, well, I mean, obviously, Let's Go to Japan was based on this life experience, and then the trip impact or the cancellation of the trip impacted the game, and then that subsequently impacted the trip when you're able to go there in the end. And then, Santa Monica is very specifically created by you for the sake of representing, place as well. So they're games that have a lot of, personal links to you. And I think that like the life that pops out of both of them is like due to the craft and care and those personal links. So I guess like, moving forward in your, design and development and everything like that, do you feel as if
I like have to do autobiographical games.
do you feel like you have to do autobiographical games
You
or do
know
you
I do. I actually do. So like I also really am I consider myself to be a cat lady too. I'm obsessed with my cat, Marshmallow. She's actually in all my games. She's in Cat Lady. She is featured in Santa Monica. She is the cat that's on the green player board in Let's Go Japan. And it's like funny that, yeah, like I mean. And it's a little unintentional. When I was working on Santa Monica, I just had it like called Beach Game at first or something. And I was at some kind of Protospiel or some kind of thing like that. And I wanted people to come play my game. And by the way, I hand you every single card like with pen for this prototype. And so my prototype didn't look as fancy as everyone else's. And I really wanted to try to convince people to come to my table. So I was like, well, I'll just name it Santa Monica because, like, we're here in LA and everyone will like that. And, people were like, oh, I love the fact that it's called Santa Monica. And, I thought about it a little bit that there's a lot of Euro games that come out that are named after cities. A lot of European cities get made into games. And you don't really have a lot of American cities get made into games. You'll have some like New York games, maybe like Chicago or something, but Santa Monica is not one that gets represented. You might get some Los Angeles stuff, but I've lived in Los Angeles now for maybe like 12 years. So it's a big part of me. And so I wanted to like represent it. And then when I came up with Let's Go to Japan, my graphic designer Bridget was like, wow, you make a lot of autobiographical games. And I just was like, yeah, I guess I am making a lot of autobiographical games. And so like if I made a weird game about like fantasy or whatever, how would people react to that, based on who I am? And so I think about that actually a lot. Like, could I just make like a random fantasy game. I mean, like I work really closely with Pete McPherson on Tiny Towns and stuff like that. And, I get to develop other games that are fantasy or are about subjects that I'm not so near and dear to. So I do have an outlet to do that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like at some point I'm going to make a game that is not so much like autobiographical, but I don't know. I know some of the games I'm working on right now, and they all feel pretty autobiographical to me right now. So like, I don't know what that I don't know what that's going to look like in the future. But it's interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And I think obviously due to like this isn't to knock on insert random European city's name, but I think sometimes depending on the game and depending on like what is being done in the game, it doesn't necessarily have the personality or the representation of place like something that Santa Monica would, because you are building your own, like beachfront pier and all that. So I guess thinking about place too, obviously place plays a big part. And I think in the discussion of setting and theme, where some people might say, like it's like a beach themed game or something like that. And I mean, I think from like a somebody who tries to approach things from a kind of like a literary standpoint, like that doesn't necessarily like match up with what I'm thinking about. So what would you, especially because I think they are super detailed, what would you say that like the theme of something like Santa Monica would be? Because it's obviously a game that is very heavily rooted in a particular place. So what kind of like thematic undertones are there?
So something that I think about a lot is just like, instead of just saying like, oh, well, this is what Santa Monica looks like. I like to think a lot about the sort of other like little stories that you can tell. So a big one that I tell in that game is the idea of tourism versus locals, right? Like that's something that I think is very interesting to me. When I first moved to LA, my first day I'd ever been to Santa Monica, I had like a job interview at a visual effects house that's in Santa Monica, and I was like trying to find it, and I looked really confused. I looked definitely like a tourist, and this guy came up to me, and and he goes, oh, he goes, hey, sir, are you lost? And I said, oh, I am lost. And then he said, yeah, we're all lost. And then he just walked off. And so I think maybe there's this idea of what, while I do think people in California are actually nice, like I actually think that there's a bad rap about people being phony, and that obviously does exist to some degree. I think California is filled with a lot of nice people. But I do think also, whenever you go into these beach communities, there is this sort of idea of tourism is like needed, and then tourism is also hated. And then there's like, because like when I go on vacation, I want to like go to the local spots and less of the touristy stuff. But sometimes you go to the touristy thing because it's touristy for a reason, right? Like it is like an impressive thing to see. And so like it's like I even with Let's Go to Japan, I try to think about that a lot, which is like, okay, these are the big sites that everyone wants to go to, but then I want to put some things in there that I'm like, no one's really going to these places, because you kind of want to see both of those sides. Like I don't want it to be so like, oh, well, we're here, and like this is the obvious thing you do here. Like this is, so I think like that's one story that really I tried to express in Santa Monica. And then another thing that I really tried to do in Santa Monica was think about how people interact within the environment, right? There's like a whole thing about moving your people around, and sort of just like, when you go to a place, you don't just go to one place and sit still. You kind of like move around. You go to a couple places, and then you kind of park in one area, and then you spend the rest of your time there, and then you go home. And then I think also just sort of the emptiness of it. Like I remember there was a lot of fear when I was making that game that there was just too many cards that were just sand. And I'm like, well, if you go to the beach, you'll just see a lot of like blank sandy beaches, and it's kind of nice. Like sometimes you it's very pristine, and sometimes it's just not right. Like the day I actually decided to make this game, I was in Malibu, actually, not Santa Monica. But I went to this beach called El Matador, and it's this really beautiful beach. It has these cool rock formations. And I was there really early. I was there with my girlfriend, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like no one else was there. And I was like, wow, we have this beautiful beach to ourselves. And we started walking down the beach, and someone just threw like a huge like pile of trash just all over the beach. And like I remember thinking like of this sort of weird yin and yang where like beach communities like need the tourism, and then like there's this like idea of beauty and trash, and it's like your tourist in that game can score you more points, but they're also like harder to deal with. They move slower, and like they come in like bigger numbers, so then there's just even more to like manage and stuff. So there's a lot of these like weird subtle themes that I try to put into these games to make them also not obvious what those are, right? Like I think games a lot of times when they're about cities, they try to think about like, okay, like this city is known for this thing. How do we like infuse that theme into like every action you do? Where it's kind of like, well, you just try to make it subtly tell the story. And some people will play Santa Monica and just be like, oh, cool, it was a beach and people went surfing or whatever. And some people like might like dig in deeper, and it doesn't matter. Like, I want people to have fun. And I just think that if you put enough details in, enough people will start to notice things. For instance, there's like a card that has a raccoon on it, and it scores, I think, 3 points if it's adjacent to a store or something. And I think some people might just go, oh yeah, this card just scores me 3 points if it's next to a store. And they don't really know why. They might not even notice the raccoon. But in my head, I'm like, oh, well, this raccoon, likes to eat in the trash or whatever, so he likes being by a business or something like that. And so that's like the little subtle story I can kind of tell on each of these cards, because the big thing I want is every card to have not feel the same as another card. And sometimes like you want the cards to feel generally the same, so people don't have to overanalyze every card and what it means. But you want if people kind of dive deeper, like for instance, like in Let's Go Japan, you get points for being really exhausted when you go to the onsen or something like that, because you get to relieve your stress. You're like, oh, I was really worried, but now I'm like more revitalized. And if you just went to an onsen, you're already relaxed, you might not feel that same way. So that's kind of the stuff that I try to put in my games, where there's subtle thematic things that you can kind of like dig into if you want to go that deep. But otherwise, I just try to have the mechanics just be there enough for people.
Yeah, I mean, to me and my experience, I was definitely when playing, I think about the idea of the tourists compared to the locals. That's pretty evident, like you said. You all of a sudden you'll have cards like put five tourists on. It's like, oh, where are they gonna
Like
go?
five tourists. And you're like, I kind of want some of those locals. And then like every local card is like, oh, you get like two locals, and you're like, ah, one more.
Oh no, that's really good. I appreciate the kind of the varying stories and the way that those, even a scoring condition like the raccoon next to the trash, or the not next to the trash, next to a store that would have a naturally have a dumpster, makes a lot of sense. I like that. All right. Well, speaking of tourists, those were the first two questions. So those were the ones that kind of like set us up. And now, I mean, both of those games, Let's Go to Japan and Santa Monica, have drafting elements in different ways. In Santa Monica, it's an open draft with a couple of rows and
Yeah, same thing with
primary
Cat Lady. Cat Lady is
Cat
also a
Lady.
drinking
Okay.
game.
See, I've never played Cat Lady, and it's funny because I would probably. Okay, so I gr really quick intermission. So I grew up with dogs. Like, I always had dogs. And then now I would. Well, now I still have dogs. But we have three cats, and I think the reason we have three cats is partially because of me, because I pushed to get the third. So I would definitely call myself a cat lady, but I have played Dog Lover, though, and I know that that is inspired from Cat Lady. So I don't know
Definitely.
where the mechanisms differ for that one, but okay, so three
There's not
drafting.
much difference, honestly.
Okay, fair enough. Well, nonetheless, three games, three drafting mechanisms, and this is going to be much simpler. I've just kind of been like fidget shuffling here, this deck of eight cards, and you are going to have two options And we're picking one. So basically, half of the questions that I have set up are inherently getting the axe because we're just not going to visit them. So, okay. So you have the option to head to Door County. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Door County. It's like, so basically, Wisconsin, it has that part that kind of like juts up, like the shape. That's like that upper point in that the that goes into like Michigan. That's Door County. It's like, it's touristy. It's got some fun nature things. I think it's known for, I don't know, wine, etc. Or we could check out the statue of the Fonz.
Oh God, well, give me the fonts.
All right.
Give me the fonts. I not to go on another tangent, but I was flying recently and Henry Winkler was actually on my plane. And I kept telling my girlfriend that I should go up to him and go, hey. And she was like, please don't do that. I would never actually do that. I just was kind of like, just teasing her a little bit. And then when I got on the plane, he was seated in first class. And as I was making my way to coach, I passed him and I just happened to like look at him and I just kind of smiled. And then he smiled back at me because he's like a very nice guy, I hear. And my girlfriend was just so sure I must have like given him thumbs up or something like that. So let's go see the Statue of the Fonz for sure.
You want to? That's really funny. Because I actually have a Henry Winkler story as well.
Oh,
I was
tell
in
me your
like,
Henry Winkler story.
I was in. Okay, this is much more embarrassing than that even. So I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade maybe, and I wasn't familiar with who he was outside of a movie I had seen him with. So I just shoot through sheer happenstance and coincidence was sitting next to him at a Packers preseason game at Camp Randall. So it wasn't even in at Lambeau, it was in Madison, because I think his daughter was a cheerleader for the team that the Packers were playing against, Denver maybe, something like that. And so I'm sitting next to him and everyone's like, oh, it's Henry Winkler, and I'm like, oh yeah, I recognize him. So I the only thing I said to him, I was like, oh, hey, you're the guy from Waterboy.
That was actually a resurgence. It's kind of in his career, I feel like that movie actually, Did he have a nice response? Because I feel like he would have given you still a very polite
Yeah,
response.
I was very kind. I mean, again, this was forever ago, so this memory is what it
Yeah.
is, but
So, okay. So I actually just put two and two together because Happy Days takes place in Wisconsin, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think
So you remember this now. Okay.
it's supposed to be Milwaukee.
Yeah, that makes sense. I seem to think about that. All right.
All
What's my
right.
final question?
Okay, let's see. Okay, so yeah, let's see how I've connected this question to the Statue of the Fonz. But okay, so this is about the impact of like pieces, figurines and production. So Santa Monica is a gorgeous game, and some of the touches with the food truck and the foodie token, even the locals with their shades compared to the tourists with the cameras, obviously just are things, small touches that add to the experience. Obviously not necessarily necessary, but they change the way that you play. I haven't seen the physical bundles of like the super bundles for Let's Go to Japan. I know that those are like very big and detailed, but obviously they included a lot of neat items. So, I mean, you're approaching your games from a design standpoint, but when it comes to, and I know that you do development as well. So, how do you think about the impact of, pieces or production touches like this?
Yeah, I think gamers tend to like haptics, right? Touching, feeling. I remember the first time I played kind of a modern game and just the sort of wooden pieces and just thinking how they're shaped and how cool it was. And I don't know, I always want to try to push that as best as I can to kind of give you that little extra feeling. And I know that when it came to designing the people, I didn't want to use just standard meeples because I wanted them to feel like something different that you hadn't seen in a game before. So I designed actually that meeple shape. And I asked Bridget, the graphic designer, to just say like, hey, could you just do something for them? And we came with a bunch of ideas, like the tourists, I mean, the locals for a while had like surfboards they were holding, or like they were on skateboards so people could easily remember that they moved quicker. We went with just the glasses and the camera because of just how small those printings were going to be. We wanted them to be very recognizable really quickly. So, you know, and like with the Let's Go Japan stuff, you know, it's like I not to sound weird, but maybe I just don't want to look like a phony. Like I want to make sure it looks like I've done the work. I actually like know what I'm doing here, and I just want to give those little details that are just going to help people feel like they're part of the game, right? Like I remember when I got into the hobby, there was a lot of talk about like, oh, are you theme first or are you mechanisms first? And I just think we're at the point where you should just say yes, both. Like we should be both. It's so important that you have cool themes, that you have cool mechanisms. You don't want anything to be left on the table. So.
I think kind of that, maybe for lack of a better word, the marriage of the two is probably the space where people should try to be designing, right? Awesome. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. We can
You
switch.
must have been thinking about Fonzie looking super cool, just like the locals in
Yeah,
Santa Monica.
that's true. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I did, yeah, like these questions, I tried to like make connections to to the question from the thing. And I like the
It
and you
works.
mentioned that you have between the that you like eventually settled on that the glasses just for, you know, simplicity and ultimately. But I think that makes more sense too. I mean, even linking that to them being able to just kind of calmly and coolly move faster through Santa Monica compared to the cameras constantly
I mean, the
stopping and
whole idea
everything
was
like
that like
that.
locals know their way around, right? Like, you know, tourists are like, where am I? They're like me in that first day in Santa Monica. Like, how do I get to this place? You know?
But we can wave goodbye to the Statue of the Fonz, but forever hold on to our memories of meeting Henry Winkler. All right, let's see what the next two are. Okay. We have the Cave of the Mounds and Milwaukee Art Museum. And yeah, I don't know. The Milwaukee Art Museum's interesting too, because that makes it into a lot of movies. Just do you know, have you ever seen the Milwaukee Art Museum? But I feel
No, I
like
haven't. I haven't. I'm going to choose it though because I'm a big art museum guy. So,
Okay. But yeah, like honestly, if you're yeah, I could have probably done this before, but I'm pretty sure if you type in the Milwaukee Art Museum, it will show it existing in pop culture. I think it's more than this. On Wiki, it has a three things. It makes it's an appearance in Need for Speed Undercover and Bridesmaids, and then also another TV show too. But whatever. I feel
oh,
like
it's
it's
a
another
cool looking
stuff.
building. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it definitely has a very cool look to it, and it's really neat. I mean, you're coming off the freeway to like one of the lakeside exits off, I think, 94, and you just see it there. It's just there, so I like that. Okay. So for this one, I was kind of thinking about the question in regards to being a curator or curation. And, you know, obviously you are a designer. You mentioned that you're a full-time developer for AEG as well. So the question ties into that. And that's just kind of reflecting on your work as a developer and kind of that idea of almost curation almost, and how that ties into your design work and that ebb and flow, I guess.
So if I understand the question, you kind of want to know about how, like, the idea of, like, curating stuff when it comes to, like, especially, like, development, because I think a lot of what makes what development is about is sort of, it's a little bit of, like, a curation process, right? You, like, kind of kick out some rules that don't quite work. You try to add a couple rules. You try to, like, bring everything together, right? Like, you got the game signed, then you have to, like, kind of, like, find the artist that's going to match it and all this stuff. Yeah, I think the important thing whenever I'm kind of doing that is you first just talk a lot to the designer and if they have any kind of, like, impressions on how they want it to go, right? For, like, Misfit Heroes, which is a game that I just developed. It's a Phil Walker Harding game that's coming out maybe later this year. I asked him, like, what kind of art style do you see it? And he kind of wanted something that was a little bit zany cartoon. And he kind of mentioned some things, and I kind of went with that and maybe a little bit of that Adventure Time kind of, like, look for the game. And so I, like, sought out artists that I felt like could kind of do this layering process. It's a game with clear cards that you put on top of paper cards, and they kind of make people. And I think a lot of games have tried that, and some of them aren't very successful because they just kind of look like paper dolls. And so I really want to try to figure out a way to make that work. And so, like, I spend a lot of time on Instagram. If you look at a lot of the games that I've developed or designed, it's not like I'm not using a lot of the standard people in the industry. I'd usually just find new people every single time from Instagram. And it's not actually that I don't like the people that work in the industry. I actually like a lot of them a lot. I've worked with Quan Chai, who I love his art, and I've worked with Beth Sobel, and I would love to work with, like, Tool or whatever. But when I first started as a developer, I didn't actually get big budgets to ever make games. So I just would try to find people who I think could just do really cool work and have new styles, because I was really big also in just trying to, like, show people more artists. I actually just want more artists. I want games to look different from one another. I want things to look like that. So that's a big part of it. And then, same thing with graphic designers, same thing with just finding pieces. It's like we said with the with some of the stuff in Let's Go Japan, for instance. It's like, well, what can you do that no one's ever done before? And, like, the wrapping the game in furoshiki cloth is, like, something that no one has done or really attempted to be able to do. And the fact that we were able to pull that off was kind of insane to me. So yeah, because I look, people are spending money on this stuff, and I want them to love the product that they open. I want every single time they open it to kind of give that feel. We all have had that thing where we open a game and we're, like, looking at the bits and we're like, ooh, everything is, like, feels so well made. Every piece, like, feels like it belongs in a certain area. Like, I love when I pull out a new game and I can set up my, like, player board without someone telling me how to do it. Like, I'm just like, oh, instinctually, I just know all these pieces go here. No, I just know this because it's like I've done this. I'm like everything makes sense. So that's how I think about curation of game. Just, like, how do you make it so people, like, kind of, like, feel like it all makes sense to them the second they open it up?
I like all parts of that answer. I didn't actually have a follow-up question, but I'm kind of thinking too. So, you mentioned with the being able to wrap up Let's Go to Japan in the cloth, if I'm not saying that incorrectly. So,
Furoshiki cloth, yeah.
yeah. So that was something that like kind of you were able to pull off. What's something
That I wasn't able to pull off.
that was maybe, I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's probably more than one. That'd be my guess, just because I'm assuming
Yeah.
from a production standpoint that those things just kind of pop up. But what's something that maybe you knew from the onset that it was going to be like a little too outlandish, but you wanted to see if it would have worked or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. There's definitely a lot of times like what's funny is sometimes like really simple things like just don't work out where you're like, oh, you know, it'd be really cool as if we just had like like we wanted to make these play mats that had like kind of like a shiny foil look to them because I've seen that before. And like we couldn't figure out how to do it. Or like we were trying to make mini poker chips and like I wanted really nice quality ones like iron clays, and we couldn't do it. We went to the people who actually made the iron clays, and we couldn't get them to replicate this. And so that was sort of the sort of funny thing is like the things like the first sheiky cloth or the bowls we've actually were able to pull off. I also have not been able to pull off a stuffed animal yet. I would like to do that for some game. Like I would love if. You know, there's like a version of Cat Lady that had like a Cat Lady plush in it or something like that. I think that'd be super cool. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe your cat that makes an appearance in all the game can be.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that I mean that is I feel like okay, I'm writing that down because I feel like I do that now. I feel like I can figure that out.
I look forward to that. Okay, we are. We got two more. Two more questions left before kind of like the wrap up stuff. So our trip, we are already kind of, I'm not going to try to do the math. We're winding down though. But we got two options of two. Oh my gosh. Here's a pairing. I have the Ice Age Trail, which I'm not sure if you're super familiar with the Ice Age Trail. Okay. It's really okay. I know more about the Ice Age Trail than I can articulate right now, but if is my understanding, it goes from kind of the northwestern part of the state through the southeastern part of the state is created by glaciers, and there's a really cool group, the Ice Age Trail Alliance, that does a lot of maintenance. So basically, if you're it's super long. I forgot how many miles it is, but if you're on the trail, there's a lot of these kind of yellow markers that show you that you're on the Ice Age Trail, but it's long. It's cool. It gets people out. I actually have hiked a decent amount of it, and I should be able to talk better about it. But that's Ice Age Trail. Or this is one of the ones that I mentioned that I had no idea was in the state of Wisconsin. Still, I did some poking around, and that is the National Mustard Museum.
Oh man. Well, give me the Ice Age Trail. I feel like this is I'm gonna not go with mustard. I feel like the mustard is gonna lead to a question here.
Okay, I think you made the right choice between the two. Okay, so we did kind of talk about this already, but I'll kind of try to differentiate the question a little bit. So thinking about the idea of movement in board games. So we talked about a little bit of, I mean, you mentioned the general ease of the locals in Santa Monica and how, you know, they're able to traverse your tableau easier compared to the tourists. And then in Let's Go to Japan, you have to think about where you're traveling for the sake of efficiency. So in here, if I'm getting this correctly, in the one of your designer diaries, you kind of mentioned that somebody else, I forgot who it was kind of talking about how you set up kind of the locations and the tableau for Let's Go to Japan, and then you almost do kind of like you create the engine, then you shoot it once, is what you said that you
Yeah,
and that.
that's how it was like described. Like someone said, like, oh, it's it's at AEG it was Ryan saying like it's like a engine builder that you only run the engine once. You know, you plan the trip and then you just execute the trip. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the movement there is obviously different, but to me, there is still kind of that visceral bit where you're seeing the days and the cities kind of line up for the sake of your trip, if it makes sense. So, to not be like I said, terribly redundant with the question. I mean, it does seem like, I mean, obviously setting plays a key part of your design and kind of the things that you connect to. But I guess why to you then, or how, why do you feel this idea of movement has kind of come out so much in these two designs?
You know what it is? So the one of the first games that got me into the hobby is the board game Vegas Showdown, in which you build like a casino hotel. And I remember I really liked that game. That game was like so big for me. And I also played a lot of games like SimCity or Roller Coaster Tycoon, things like that. And because I liked the idea of like operating a business as like a game. But something that always made me feel a little weird was when I would play Vegas Showdown and I'm like, man, I wish I could see what these people were doing. Like, I would like if they could like move around and they could, you'd have people over here right now. And so that's what led a lot of Santa Monica's design. And I think the thing with like Let's Go Japan, the idea of having these goals that you do and like what you've done in the past, it's a little bit of like the past experiences build on your future. I just think that like, it's like another dimension to think like, we are playing board games on a, like a very 2D surface, and anything that you can do to add more three dimensionality to it. Or in this case, it's almost like a four dimensionality to it, right? Like it's this like time you can put into the game where it's like, oh, things feel like it's like things move around or they change. And that I think that's what I try to achieve in those games. I like the idea that you sort of are playing a game that is like flat, but there's a lot of like little movement going around too. And I like also the evidence of like your movement through the things. Like you can kind of like look and you can figure out where your cards, like your people remember, especially your VIP, you know where it started and you can see all the spots it moved. And in Let's Go Japan, it's like, oh, well, I start with nothing. And it's like, well, I did this many activities like this. You can kind of see like what built up. And at the end, when you're like, oh, I scored 2 points for every set of these two icons, it's like, well, so you can see like what I did to get all those icons and all that stuff. So I think that's, yeah, I think I like the idea of being able to see the story of the game. When I designed Santa Monica, I also just thought like, I like it in games when you can just like look at your board at the end and just be like, well, look what I did. This looks beautiful. Like I feel happy and sad. Like I always want people to just feel satisfied with like the fact that they played a game more than like how they scored or what the outcome of their game was. Right. Like in Cat Lady, you get to like see all your cats that you adopted, right? And even that game has a lot of emotion because you're drafting a row or a column of cards, and that's a lot about like the haptics of feeling like, well, instead of just drafting one card for free, you just get three. But also, like a cat lady, you sometimes take on more than you actually want to, or whatever, right? Like, it's all about that kind of stuff. Like these like feelings of like haptics, because I think that's just something that is important to board games. It's why we play board games. We want that physical feeling. We want that sort of extra layer from just 2D. Because if you just want 2D, then you can just play like a video game, right? And so board games give us this three dimensionality or four dimensionality to it.
Well, I like everything there, except for the fact that you mentioned the possibility of maybe taking on more cats than you want, because that's never the case. You always want more, but you just have to have that rational part of your brain say, slow down.
Well, yeah, but I mean that's all cat lady is, because you take three cards at a time. Sometimes you take more cats than you are able to take care of, because sometimes you're just like I just want one more. I'm sure I can get it to work, and then you like maybe can or you can't, and sometimes you're like, yeah, I think I'm just gonna have four cats, and then you have six cats at the end. And you're like, oh, I'm really like feeling the pressure of that. But yes, I know what you mean though.
No, I know. I was just making a little joke.
I got it. I
I was
got
gonna
it.
say I was just joshing, and I was like, oh, it's too on the nose.
A little on the nose, but
Okay, well, we are to our final pairing before for the wrap up stuff, and your two this is your last place in Wisconsin that we get to visit together. would either be the Madison, which is vague, so I just put the state capitol building, or Lambeau Field.
Oh, I'll go to Lambeau Field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you selected the one question. This is kind of like the, I don't know what you want to call it, the daily double. It has nothing to do with board games.
All right. All right, cool.
So first off, question A, do you like American football at all?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I actually think this surprises a lot of people when they meet me, because and people see me as like an arty guy or whatever, but I actually follow American football. I play in fantasy football leagues. And it's why I chose Lambeau Field, because actually I do enjoy American football.
I'm a pretty big fan of American football. I mean, I think growing up, I was much more invested in into football as a whole than I am now. But so now for me, it's definitely like Packers. Like being in Wisconsin, I think you have to
Right, 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 right.
be
Yeah,
Packers, Packers, Packers.
I feel like when you're in Wisconsin, there's like you have to have like a little bit of like Packers. I mean, it's just kind of like in you to some degree. But yeah, I as a kid, I didn't actually care about football at all. And then this is kind of weird. Like I actually started just like trying to learn about sports so I could talk to more people. Because I realized there's like a lot of people who just kind of like sports, and I'm like, I really don't have any other shared interests, and I didn't like hate the idea of sports, and so I just sort of like learned it a little bit, and now I just kind of like it, and I like, you know, I like playing my fantasy football leagues, so yeah.
Yeah, and I mean honestly, things like fantasy football or even fantasy sports in general, there's a decent amount of tie-in to, board games, especially if you do like auction drafts or things like
Right, 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 right.
that.
Yeah, you could do auction drafts or just drafts in general. Man, I wish I could just design a game where it gave you the same feeling as you do when you do like a fantasy football draft. In fact, like there's some leagues like that I've seen online where like you could draft like a coach, and like the coaches gave you kind of asynchronous powers throughout the league. And I'm like, ah, someone's got to like figure this out. Where like, you know, asynchronous powers sounds kind of cool to me, you know? That's a board game. Just thinking of that.
That was pretty cool. I think I'm not sure if I've mentioned this once, or I don't know. I feel like I mentioned on the show once, but the one that I played a little bit that has probably the closest tie into that would be a board game called Basket Boss. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play basketball. Basketball is pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, maybe not like to the full extent of
Isn't
like
not to the full
fantasy.
extent, but it's a cool game.
Yeah.
I like what you do in that game. There's a lot of like. I'm trying to remember it super well, but I know like you could have like I think you field like five players, and you can kind of like change them out, and you have to kind of think about how many of the different positions you have and stuff like that. It's definitely like a cool definitely the person who created that is obviously like a fan of the. It's always good when you play a game and you're like, well, I can actually tell that the person likes the thing that they're making the game about. Where like sometimes you're like, do you really like this thing? Because I don't feel like it's why like I think people like Elizabeth Hargrave, like you know, Wingspan or whatever, right? Because you kind of like play and you go like, well, you clearly like birds. You made this because you like birds, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, speaking about, well, I don't even know the connection here, my segue, but I asked if you liked American football at all. Obviously, so the answer is yes, which is cool. I like football, like I said, enough. But at heart, it all boils down to me being by birth a cheesehead. So part B to this question is, what's your favorite type of cheese?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. So, in Santa Monica, the actual city, there's a really awesome Italian deli there, and they make a caprese sandwich that is made with burrata, and I think is one of the greatest sandwiches you could ever eat. So burrata might be my favorite cheese, but I'm also a really big fan of Manchego. I think Manchego is a really underrated cheese. So I won't give you a full answer. I'll give you two answers so I can just talk about two things I like.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I Okay, those are good. I feel like if I were to answer my favorite cheese, I think it'd feel like a little bit basic.
No,
But
give it to me.
I really like Munster.
Oh, Munster's good cheese. Yeah, like on a sandwich, like that's like always good. Or like Havarti is like a really nice like of like your kind of American cheeses. Like those are kind of where those are good things that we make here in America.
Oh, perfect. Well, hey, look at that. We ended our trip at Lambeau, and we without even having questions about games specifically, games were able to be brought up into it nonetheless, which just worked
Nice,
out.
nice. It works.
But so the my kind of forever penultimate question is just asking you. So this is intertextual experience. Just think about other texts
Wait,
that you've.
we just toured all of Wisconsin and we're not going to go to like the Dells on those like duck boats.
How about okay, so let's
No,
just
it's
say
okay. It's okay. I just, my sister's actually in the Wisconsin Dells right now. She's
Oh.
working at a summer camp right now. And I've been up to the Dells before because they have those like boats that go or the like cars that go in the water, right?
Yeah.
Like the duck that like
Yeah,
I think they give
I
you like
think
a little
there's
like duck. I did that as a kid or something. I assumed that was going to come up on this. I
Oh.
was like waiting for it. Okay,
Okay,
continue.
well,
What's your penultimate question?
we'll say that this portion. So now
We're there.
we're in the Dells. This is it. I honestly kind of didn't pick the Dells because I felt in terms of Wisconsin touristy stuff, I felt like that was just like peak tourism. That's
It
kind
is
of
peak
it
tourism,
is
right? And
peak
then
tourism.
there's some water park I've been to in Wisconsin at some point. I had family in Wisconsin, so
Yeah. If
I
I
could
mean,
go play.
if you're in the Dells, like I mean. I think Noah's Ark is
Yeah, Noah's Ark. Yeah,
the
that's the
big
one.
one.
I've been to Noah's Ark. I've been up in the Dells and been on those duck boats or whatever.
The wrap-up questions are just us on the duck boats in the Dells, then we can
All
just
right, I like
imagine
it.
that.
People are just annoyingly quacking with their little quacky things that they give you.
We'll see
All
if I
right.
can add some sound effects to the this portion. But no, it's just having you reflect on a text that has been on your mind. It could be anything. So something that you've been watching, playing, listening to, reading, something that's just been taking up a little bit of your time from a art slash media standpoint.
Well, something that I definitely will say is that I do watch a lot of movies. So we are it's July 1st, so we're about halfway through the year. I've seen 134 movies so far this year. I go to the movie theater. I've probably been about 20 times so far this year. I really like going to see movies. I watch a lot of movies. That said, is there anything that's actually like sticking to my mind right now? I listened to the Rewatchables podcast, which is a movie podcast that is really good. That's been on my mind a lot lately. I'm listening to an audiobook of Annihilation. That's a bit on my mind right now because that's a cool book about like a unexplored land. I like sci-fi and fantasy that's kind of low stakes, like I like things that are like, oh yeah, it's fantasy but it's takes place on Earth or whatever, or like it's sci-fi but it's very minor technology. It's not like Star Wars or something like that. So those are on my mind right now. Let me think. I feel like I'm watching, I'm watching the Larry Sanders Show right now. I've never seen it before. I'm having a good time watching the Larry Sanders Show. I just rewatched all of Freaks and Geeks. I think that is one of the greatest shows. I love that show so much. Been thinking about that one a lot. So that's what's on my mind. I feel like I always have a lot of things on my mind. The New York Times is doing a poll right now for the best movies of the 21st century, and you can submit your top 10. And I thought really hard about doing about my top 10, and so I've been thinking a lot about two of my three of my some like my three favorite movies probably from the 21st century are Parasite, There Will Be Blood, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So I've been thinking about those movies a lot because I've been sort of just thinking about like why the best movies are the best movies to me or whatever. So those three have been on my mind a lot. I answered your question with a lot of answers there.
Yeah, like I think honestly that's kind of like where I'm at most of the time. For me, I actually been a little bit of a resurgence, a minor resurgence. I've been getting to play a little bit more video games than lately, and that's kind of like the way that you're talking about all the different things that are on your mind. That's the way I like play video games. I'm playing like eight right now.
Oh, nice. What do you what's the most exciting thing you're playing right now?
I would say the one that has kind of had me coming back the most, I guess, at least recently, the last past couple weeks, has been Monster Train.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of UFO 50 whenever I can,
Oh,
which,
well, that's one of my eight as well. That's just
It's I mean it's actually like 50,
yeah,
so it's
one
probably
of
your 57.
58.
That's what I've been trying to play. I feel like I don't get as much time to play video games. I find them to like it's weird. I feel like I can see, like 100 movies and I'm just like, oh, I don't have time to play video games. It's like, well, maybe just watch a little less movies. Maybe you could play more video games, but I don't know. It's easy for me to just chill like with a movie on or something like that. I'll watch everything too.
Well, with that response too, if I were gonna say UFO 50, you have to pick one of the 50 that just pops your head first.
The one is Party House is probably the one that always pops in my head first since it's like a board game in that game. I think that's always that's the one that popped in my head first. So I won't cheat and just talk about the ones I like. What's the one that pops in your head?
I think the I'm not I mean different day different response right? I think it I think the one that's probably on my mind because I feel like I'm okay but not good at it is Magic Garden.
Oh my God. My friend loves Magic Garden, and I mean, I think that one's really cool. And look, I've only beaten it the one time, and but that's a really cool take on like such a simple game. Like I thought there was no way I was gonna ever feel addicted to that game. But yes, that one I can hear the music in my head at like all times.
Yep.
I never think about video game music until I played UFO 50. I actually think that the music in that game is really cool. Really cool.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, I was going to say if that could be a UFO 50 could be another side tangent, but it's good. If anybody's listening to this,
I could do an hour on just UFO 50, actually.
we'll plug that. If anybody hasn't played it, definitely go check it out. But that actually does segue well into my final ultimate question. You mentioned some of your oh, I closed up my little notebook, which was stupid on my part. Some of your development work on it was the Phil Walker Harding game Misfit Heroes, I think. That might be coming out this year, or that's just kind of something that's in the works. But what are some other projects, either design and or development that you want to shout out and can, because I know that sometimes different things don't allow you to talk about certain things at certain times that people should be looking out for from you.
I mean, look, I'm always trying to work on a bunch of different things right now. Speaking of UFO 50, I talked with John Perry about actually designing a game together. I hope we get that going again. Pete McPherson designer Tiny Towns. We're working on some things. But the things that I really want to talk about is we have a follow-up to Let's Go coming up. I'm going to be announcing it actually in about 2 weeks, where we're going next. And I think that'll be a cool announcement. So I think people, so July 14th, I'll be announcing that. And then we're also going to make an expansion, another expansion for Let's Go to Japan that I'm really excited about. It adds a lot, some like new cards, new ways to play the game. I think it opens up the game quite a bit. And I'm really excited about both. I just had a play test of the expansion earlier today. And I'm really excited about both projects. I'm just, I was a little worried because sometimes with expansions, I get a little bit like, I've already been here. Like, I want to like kind of do something new. And then making another Let's Go game, I kind of was like dreading it because it's like, well, I've already done it. What can I add to it? What can I do differently? And I really like, there's like a lot of cool new things that's going to come in the next Let's Go game. And I'll be talking about more of that in just a couple weeks. So.
Well, I apologize that this podcast is going to spoil the fact that it's actually about Wisconsin.
Yeah. Look, you know what? People actually ask me all the time, like, oh, like, what are the places you want to do? And I mentioned some of the places that people like that I want to do. And people are like, oh, that's interesting. Like I would I used to live in New Orleans and I would love to do Let's Go to New Orleans. And people are like, oh, you're not just gonna like do Italy or and like more obvious places. I mean, I would like to do some very obvious places. I love Italy. But I don't know. Doing some kind of unique, weird places. I mean, Wisconsin is not on the list right now, but you know
Well,
what? Who knows? Who knows? One day I might just be doing, I might have people going to see the Fawn statue and riding duck boats.
just throw it on the list. It could be at the bottom of your list. Who knows if it resurfaces at a future time. But no, that all sounds fantastic, and I'm really excited to see the more the official release of where we will be going to next in a couple weeks from today. So that's really neat. And yeah, just like all of your design and development work with AEG, I will definitely be watching, and I'm very excited for it. So,
Sounds good. All right.
well, thank you so much for I mean, if we are going to do the math on how long this trip actually took, maybe in the show notes, I'll kind of, because now that we have our location set and we made that impromptu trip to the Dells at the very end. Maybe I'll
Yeah.
just add like miles. Like we were in the car together for a really long time, but fortunately, with that, I don't know, maybe like fifth dimension of time travel, we've shrunk that down to like an hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah,
So,
I like it.
yeah.
I like it. I'll be interested to see how many miles. I'll like think. I'm gonna write down a number and then
Okay.
get to see a. It's like a little extra game I get to play.
Yeah. Send me your guesstimate, and the show notes will have like the total. Maybe I'll send you an email before I finalize that too.
Okay.
But
All right. Sounds good.
all right. Well, thank you again.
All right. Well, thanks for having me so much. I really appreciate it.
Intertextual Experience, the most
touristy
podcast about board games and any other text that they connect to. Thank you so much for spending your time here. Your support through listening to this podcast means everything to the show's success. If you enjoyed the project, consider giving us a rating or review and sharing it with any other people in your life you would feel would like it as well. Any further support, such as sending an email to say hey, following some of the show's social media accounts, or contributing any monetary support to help pay for some necessary subscriptions would be greatly appreciated. All of that information can be found in the show notes. Until next time, keep playing, watching, reading, listening, experiencing.